Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is
gonna do what you gonna do.
What you gonna do?
You better get your heart to the Lord.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
Your program is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come across these skyways and airways, once again bringing unto you the divine word of truth as I know it to be. I just hope and pray that you had a beautiful day in Mass and various church services that you attended around the world, and I know that God met you there. Well, we are intending and anticipating on that same glorious time here this evening on this broadcast. And I thank those of you that just so kindly tune in and continually to tune in and be a major part and impact of this program. And I just thank God, hallelujah, because, you know, without you, it would be no need for me to be here. But I just thank God that he has soldiers like yourself that love God and love to hear the divine word of God in its entirety. And I just thank you for allowing me into your workspace. I thank you for allowing me into your living room area. Then I want to thank you for allowing me to ride on down the dangerous highway and byway with the Old Ship of Zion on your podcast dial. I want to send condolences out at this time. I hadn't sent it out, I don't think, in probably the last sermon, I imagine. But I want to take this opportunity, this podium, this time, to send out condolences to you, you, and you out there in my digital audience around the world. And I want to let you know that weeping might endure for a night, but that joy cometh in the morning. I want you to know that you're not alone. I want you to know that God has stewards and stewardess all around the world that's praying for you and with you in your hour of bereavement. And I just want to bring you words of encouragement to look to the hills with your help. For your help cometh from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. And I want you to get your good seat, get comfortable, get all your digital gadgets, get your iPhone, your iPad, your iBook, get your laptop, your tablet, and everything digital. You can leave your cars parked out in the driveway. And I want you to get your chip and your dip, whatever you want to sip, and just join in as I bring unto you the divine word of truth. And at this time, we're going to go into prayer. We have an intro prayer when we come across these skyways and airways, because we are acknowledging our Lord and Savior. He is our soon coming Messiah. And I want to present the psalm and introduce to others. His name is Jesus Christ. He is a native of Nazareth. Hallelujah. And he's going to come back one day in all of his glory and his power. Hallelujah. But until that time, we will continue to mount up from the four corners of this earth, starting from the north, south, east, and west. And Father God, I'm so grateful that you allowed this opportunity to come, hallelujah, full circle. And you were just spreading your love and sovereignty unmeasured on all of us. I continue to thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us to gather in unity once again, God, around this spectrum. I want you to anoint these lips of clay on today. I want to be able to bring a rhema word to those that may then again may not know of you. in the pardons of the iniquity. I'm asking you to grace me, God, your servant, hallelujah, with words of encouragement and words of wisdom. To those that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their souls, of their hearts, and their minds, I want you to bring peace and contentment back into that mind. Peace and contentment in that heart, in that troubled heart. God, all as only you can do. And we're looking to you, God. There's nobody but you. We're looking to you on this evening, Father God. And so we're going to now go on into a service that's already in progression. Hallelujah. Our sermon on tonight entitles, Check Your Blind Spots, Dead to Sin. I want to say that one more time. Check your blind spots, dead to sin. And we're going to read our first key scripture on tonight, and it reads like this. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you obey it. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Romans 6 and 12. We're going to go now in our second key scripture for tonight, and it reads this. He was wounded for yours, mine's, and ours. So he's not leaving out anyone. All guilty, and we're all included. He was wounded for yours and mine's and our transgression. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Isaiah 53 and 5. Hallelujah to your blessed name, God. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I look back in time, because we know we can't rewind time, so we can just let our mind roll back into space and time. And I remember when I was in high school, I had a driving instructor who gave me some sound advice. And you would think by now in the rearview mirror, you know, what is on your left side. But your vision is limited. He said, always look over your shoulder before changing lanes. There may be another car in your blind spot. His wise instructions has kept me out of more potential wrecks than I care to think about. Then we can also look into the life of Moses. He had some wise instructions for his people of Israel. They were to make study and contemplation of God's commandment as integral parts of their life. Moses said, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Deuteronomy 6 and 7. In short, God's words was permanent, every aspect of yours and mine in our life. The Bible is our instruction manual from God for navigating life's journey. But merely owning a copy is not enough. It must be studied. It must be applied and must pass on to others. Just as checking our blind spot should become an automatic response while you and I are driving, I would suggest applying God's word should be our natural response as we encounter the hazards of life. It will help us avoid a spiritual crash. Hallelujah. You know that the Bible will tell you and I what is wrong before you have done it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And then we're going to go back and we're going to reflect on our second key scripture that reads, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it. Scripture reading again is coming out of the law of Romans 6 and 12. And I know that you might be surprised to learn about your own death. You might be saying, Overseer Ward, what you mean by death? I'm not dead. I'm not talking about a natural death, but I'm speaking about a spiritual death. When you read into the law of Romans 6:6, our old man was crucified with Christ, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. And if you and I are followers of Jesus, you died to sin. But we know that we still sin, even though we belong to Christ. So what does it mean to be crucified with him? It means we no longer have to be overpowered by temptation. We can choose to obey God through his power. Hallelujah. And as believers, we will not experience the perfect deliverance from sin in this age, so that they never sin at all. But what has been shattered is not the presence of sin, but the mastery of sin over believers. We can now walk in the newness of life. One day when we are resurrected to live with the Lord, we will be removed from the presence of sin forever. Hallelujah, Jesus. We know that the Savior can break sin, dominion, the victory he has won long ago. And in him there is freedom from bondage. He's able to conquer the foe. We know that our greatest freedom is freedom from sin. Hallelujah, Jesus. And we know that pain, abject, horrible, excruciating pain, unrelenting and unbearable, unspeakable pain, with each slash across Jesus' back, and with every muscle burning stepped up, Golgotha's hill, we know that our Savior received the punishment for yours and mine and our sin. In our let's make everything okay world, we often look at sin, hallelujah, and wonder, what's the big deal after all? Our sins isn't so bad. If we lie a little or cheat just a bit, what's the harm? If we gossip some or use coarse language a few times, whom will hurt? What's so bad about sin, you might ask? I want to let you know on today, on this evening, on this afternoon, on tonight, elsewhere around the world, it's bad because of what it put Jesus through. Yes, our sin was the reason for the torment Jesus suffered as he made his way to the cross. And as he hung on that cross and ultimately died a horrific death, of course we can never undo what has been done. That pain can never be reversed. Yet we must understand that if we continue to sin knowingly, we're in effect turning our back on Jesus and his pain. It's as if you and I, and we are saying that it doesn't matter to us what we put Jesus through. We're going to do what we want. Seeing in the light of the cross is to tell Jesus that even his intense suffering had not taught us about the awfulness of sin. You might ask, Overseer Ward, why is sin so bad? All you have to do is look to the cross. See the Messiah hung on a cross. Nails pinned in his hands, left and right. Feet being crossed one on top of the other. Then a crown of thorns placed upon his head. He was pierced in his side. The word of God tells us that blood and water came gushing out. So, if you want to know why sin is so bad, Jesus took our sins so you and I, and we might have his salvation. Hallelujah, Jesus. We might have his salvation. Now, you know that's, boy, you can't get it any better than that. That's love. Love. Oh, Lord. Love without measures. Love without boundaries. Jesus went to that extent for you and I and the whole human race of mankind. I tell you, there's no greater love than that, the Word of God tell us, than a man to lay down his life for his friend. And that is what Jesus did for you and I. He said, no one can take my life. I lay my life down. And in 3 days, hallelujah, Jesus came up out the grave. The tomb could not hold him. Hallelujah. So we know that Eve explained the rules to the tempter. She said that Adam could eat the fruit of any tree in the Garden of Eden, special one in the middle. Just touching it, she said, would bring death. Can you imagine Satan throwing back his head with mocking laughter? You will not surely die. Read in the law of Genesis 3 and 4. He then suggested that God was holding back something good from her, meaning something good from Eve. For thousands of years, the enemy has repeated that strategy. I want you to know on today, you that are out there in my digital listening audience, he doesn't care if you believe in the authority of the Bible, as long as he can get you to disbelieve that the one thing standing between you and God is sin. You will not surely die, we are told. That is the theme of so many modern novels. The hero and the heroine, they live in disobedience to God, but suffer no consequences. Hallelujah, Jesus. But we know there is a perfume that they call Marcin. And they said that it's a fragrance that's so alluring, it's so charming, so exciting, that tell us we could only call it Marcin. You would never guess that sin is a stench in the nostrils of God. In the temptation you face and I face and we face, we will believe Satan's lie, or we will believe the word of God. So you will believe a lie that Satan is telling you, or you will obey God's word and his warning. Hallelujah. Because we know that the enemy is nothing but a liar. He's a liar and he's the father of lies. Hallelujah. And so, we know that we have been told, coming up as little children, our parents would scream out, don't go there. Because they knew that it was something drastic would happen to you. Maybe you would get bit by a snake or some insect bite or maybe some calling you over. But we know that Satan told Adam and Eve to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And Satan and Eve, hallelujah, Adam and Eve, to eat in the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And Satan started with his innuendos. And then he said that, did God say that? He appealed of their intelligence. And he said that, who do you know that died from eating the fruit of a tree? He closed with an appeal of ego. There's nothing wrong with being on God's level. At each challenge, we find out that God tried to tell Adam and Eve, don't listen. This advice is wrong. You don't understand what will happen if you go against my counsel. Don't you go there. But instead of listening to God, Adam and Eve went their own way. and they listen to the wrong voice. And by doing so, they're into this society, into this world that we now know which we live. Hatred, jealous, violence, crime, racism, sexism prevails in our world. It's easy to see how Adam and Eve messed up. But consider the consequences have been when we took the wrong advice. That was unwanted pregnancy, unemployment, incarceration, and then there was death, broken homes, dilapsed finances. We choose the wrong path that seemed less painful. The path of immediate gratification. But inevitably, it backfired and destroyed our lives. How then can we repair our financial circumstances? How can we repair our health? How can we restore our job employment? How can we restore our family circle and standing good in our community? How can we do that? Hallelujah. Even though we might not see or understand the reason behind God's wisdom, hallelujah, and his counsel. But it's better to obey, because we know that obeying God and his voice and his wisdom will always bring us health and peace, and it will keep you and I out of destructive entanglement. And here's the last reading for this evening. Someone has said, to err is human, to forgive is divine. This saying, however, is missing one very important element, confession. Before we can realize God's forgiveness, you and I and we must first confess our sins. We know the confession is an acknowledgement that we have failed to meet the standards God had established. That is, we have missed the mark. We do not need to inform God of our sins, since he already knows we have missed the mark. Our confessions, however, enable us in humility and broken spirit to drop the facet of perfection before him, which lead to restoration. We find out that David's willingness to confess his sins, he endured to God. God is a lover of the truth. We can read in the law of Psalms 51. David laid out his guilt before God and cried out for God's forgiveness. He made a commitment not to repeat past mistakes and asked to be filled with God's Spirit. But unfortunately, we live in a society in which we live today. We place little value on confessions, yet we have more needs than ever to practice it. We need to confess the sins of racism and sexism, violence in our lifestyle, our low self-esteem, expectations that could cause us squander at what God has given us, the gifts that he has bestowed upon us, and greed that holds resources instead of sharing them with others that's in need. We know that God will enable you and I and to heal us individually, one by one. And as a nation, only then, when we confess our failures and cry for his forgiveness and power to make necessary changes in yours and mine and our life. And in closing, our sermon on tonight has been, check your blind spot. Dead to sin. I hope and I pray that I've said something to inject your spirit and to impact your mind, as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, have any prayer petitions you would want the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you are most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This station has been brought to you by Blog Talk Radio. This program has been the Old Ship of Zion. Send your correspondence, make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. And you can also send your remittance to www.janicewardministry.org. We're going to now change the dynamics of this program. We're going to now turn you over into Hymns of Zion to uplift your spirit and to encourage your heart. Till we meet again across these skyways and highways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Bye for now.
Thank you. glory train. Step forward, don't remain. Don't stand there shackled by your sin. Just get on board and let the glory begin. All aboard the Love Express. Turn your back on your past. It's time to confess. Whatever you do, you gotta lay down your pride. Let the Lord God take you on a real good ride. All aboard the glory train. The journey is sweet, so much